Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Moistline 877 Moist 86. We have a lot of room. 877 Moist 86. It's Wednesday, so get in there now. That's also 877-664-7886. We are going to talk with Todd Benzman. Todd Benzman is a senior national security fellow, the Center for Immigration Studies. He's a journalist. He's normally based in Texas. He spends a lot of time at the border. He's written a book called How Joe Overrun, How Joe Biden Unleashed the Greatest Border Crisis in U.S. History. And he's got another piece of the puzzle today to talk about, according to a story he also wrote in the New York Post, the United Nations, taking in part U.S. tax money, is funneling aid to illegals in transit to the border through all these what they call NGOs, non-government organizations. We'll explain what those are. But your tax money is ending up in the hands of illegal aliens while they're on the train to the U.S. to cross the border illegally. Hard to believe. Todd Benzman is going to give us the story. Todd, welcome again.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me again.
How does this work?
Well, you know, the United Nations has agencies that specialize in refugees and immigration and immigrants. They fancy themselves as protectors and supporters of the vulnerable, on the presumption that people are on the move because they're fleeing certain death, that kind of thing. And the United Nations, it turns out, is very active and present all along the migration trails in Latin America. They have been for years handing out cash debit cards and money all along the trails, as well as food and shelter and clothing, being helped along by private philanthropic migrant protection groups, NGOs, non-governmental organizations. And a lot of that I kind of picked up a few years ago, just sort of reporting down there where, you know, people were, you know, they were being handed gift cards, basically, or, you know, cash debit cards. I'm like, what's this? And I reported it. And I was called a liar and making it up, and even though I have video and photos. But now the United Nations has just published its budget for 2024. It's online and anybody can get it. The budget is calling for $1.59 billion for 2024 in cash and transportation assistance, shelter, rent assistance, clothing, medical treatment.
And this is on the way in. This is along their route to the U.S.
Yes. And they plan to give, for example, $329 million in cash to 624,000 immigrants that they know are on their way to the U.S., passing illegally through a bunch of different countries. They plan to hand out millions of dollars in what they call, $25 million in what they call humanitarian transportation, which is, buses and minivans and taxis and whatnot across borders. The document is 130 pages of very granular detail of who they plan to help, where the aid will be given out, hundreds of millions of dollars in aid at way stations in 15 different Latin American countries plus Mexico, handed out by 248 aid organizations known as NGOs.
By the way, we're broadcasting all this on Instagram right now, so if you want to get on Instagram, you could see this conversation. We've got Todd Benzman on from the Center for Immigration Studies. All this U.S. tax money is being used. Is this money that we've given to the United Nations? How are they getting a hold of our tax funds?
Well, the United States has always been the primary donor nation for the United Nations since it was established after World War II. We still give the vast majority of all the dollars that fund the United Nations. So the presumption is, of course, that quite a lot of this money is going to be U.S. tax money. They're also raising it from private individuals all over the world. They've got a big campaign going, for small donations. They'll take donations from anywhere and anyone. It usually is provided to the UN through the State Department. The White House controls that. And then also there's congressional packages that go in our spending bills for the United Nations every year for decades.
I mean, it seems like there's a secret underground world, and they are conspiring to send as many illegal immigrants to this country, which is destabilizing all our big cities, causing chaos. There's obviously plenty of criminals coming in, terrorists, most likely. It's just astonishing that you have all these worldwide organizations, all these other countries, everybody's in on it. And suppose they presume, or their cover story is that all these migrants are fleeing some kind of terrible oppression. But the truth is, when they apply for asylum, most of the time their asylum claims are rejected. Judges aren't believing their stories.
Yeah, they're not legitimate eligible asylum claimants. They're economic migrants. They'll be the first ones to tell you when you're down there on the trail, yeah, I'm coming to make some money and send it home to my family. And so it's really just, there's a lot of irony in the fact that the U.S. is funding its own border crisis, right? That's sort of the...
Well, that's bottom line here is we're paying to have our borders violated 3 million times a year.
Well, and actually the number of immigrants that they're hoping to help is 3 million in 2024. In 15 different countries. And by the way, the document that I'm referring to, which I link to in my piece at CIS.org, Center for Immigration Studies.org, a version of this ran in the New York Post, acknowledges they it's all being done wittingly. The authors of the document acknowledge that most of the people that they're planning to help are illegally present and illegally on the move and plan to stage illegal crossings of the U.S. border. They don't even try to hide it.
So all the other countries that encompass the United Nations, they all have given their tacit approval for this operation. And so has the Biden administration, obviously. Everybody's in on it. There's a funding mechanism to keep all the illegal migrants content and comfortable as they take their trips into America.
Right. And, you know, the point of this from the perspective of the United Nations, and I have interviewed some of their officials about this, is that, you know, we think that they're coming no matter what. They're going to come no matter what. They have no choice because they're under death threat, every last one of them.
And well, that's a lie, though.
Right, yeah. And therefore, we feel like, you know, we have to make sure that, you know, we don't let anybody die along the way on their flight.
Oh. All right. Well, all right. That's their cover story. But it looks like what they're really pushing here is some kind of global socialism where they want to attract, as you know, 3 million poor people a year and send them to the United States and let the wealthy United States give them jobs and housing and schooling and medical care. This is a big charity project that we've been given the responsibility for. Todd, are you there?
Notion that, yeah, implicit in the document is this notion that people have an absolute right to move wherever they want. Borders are cruel and inhumane and are wrong. And it speaks of nations that are trying to stop it as a negative force, a negative factor, as something that has to be contended with, and that they have to support people while they're being blocked from this or that country. The policy, when a country along the way enacts something, it's sort of written as though it's a negative thing. So you can kind of pick up the tone of the budget. It's 130 pages. And I would urge people to go and read it. And also, the 248 NGOs are listed. And I link to all of them. And you can see, I mean, a whole bunch of them, reside in the United States. These are U.S. Organizations. There's also a lot of international ones, too. 15 UN agencies are involved in handing out the cash and food and everything else. I mean, really.
Are they targeting any other country's borders? Just ours?
No, the document notes that there are many countries along the way that don't want them crossing illegally, but that's something that just has to be overcome. And the aid and assistance is necessary while they are overcoming those. The people have to be sustained so that they can, you know, overcome those borders and police forces, that sort of thing.
All right, Todd.
And you can, yeah.
I hate to interrupt, but thank you for coming on. I just have to get on to the news. That is a really shocking report. That's really unbelievable. Thanks for coming on with us.
Yeah.
All right, sure. Todd Bensman for the Center for Immigration Studies.
You're listening to John Kobelch on demand from KFI AM 640.
I don't know if you heard the interview we just did with Todd Bensman from the Center for Immigration Studies. Holy mackerel. It'll be on the podcast later. It's also, we did a live Instagram video of it, and you could see it there. But Todd is telling us that, and he found the documents to prove it, that the United Nations has been paying, just millions and millions of dollars. And to the illegal aliens before they come to the U.S. border. You know how they come on, let's say, trains? Well, they're being given cash and debit cards and to keep them fed and comfortable. The United Nations, using our tax money, we supply much of the budget for the U.N., so they're taking our money and then giving it to the illegal aliens on the way in here. And the Biden administration knows this, and so do all the other countries. And we're the only country that they're doing this. They have documents which say their goal is to get 3 million people a year here into America. This is the UN. This is the whole world aligned against us. 3 million a year. Because all these bureaucratic buffoons don't want us to exist in our current form. And so they send all these poor people here under false pretenses. They claim they're refugees from oppression and violence, and that it qualifies them for asylum. No such thing. These are economic migrants, which does not entitle you to asylum. They all should be deported. No other country is getting this treatment from the UN. Just us. And they're using our money against us without our permission. Nobody asked us. It's really outrageous. And again, you know, he was told at first when he was reporting this that he's a liar by all the usual liars, the real liars. And he had the documents. It's absolutely true. That's what they're doing. We are going to be talking with Ike Ajachi from ABC News coming up in just a few minutes. We had covered this early in the show about the door plug that blew off the Alaska Airlines jet made by Boeing. And then there was a Delta plane that lost a Boeing tire in Atlanta as it was waiting to take off. And the New York Times did a whole piece on how Boeing has lost its way when it comes to, let's call it, quality control. There is another story out. You're going to enjoy this, Deborah. According to the Daily Mail, the Alaska 737 MAX blowout was Boeing's fault. The door plug was taken off by Boeing maintenance crews and then improperly reinstalled.
Okay, come on.
During final assembly at the Washington factory. Anonymous whistleblower has said that Boeing is at fault, claiming the panel that blew off was removed for repair, then reinstalled improperly at a Washington factory. You were asking before?
Yes.
What do we know about these maintenance workers?
Right. How much do they make?
I don't know.
Because we need to hire different maintenance workers, and we need to pay them way more money than they're making now.
And different management.
Exactly.
There's an aviation website called Liam News, and the whistleblower leaked the story to that outlet saying the door plug got removed and reinstalled, and you know, the four bolts were improperly aligned or improperly attached. They thought maybe it was the supplier of the fuselage, which is that company in Spirit Aerosystems in Wichita, Kansas, because that's who originally installed the panel. But it actually happened when they removed the panel in Washington and then reconnected it. The whistleblower says the reason the door blew off is stated in black and white in Boeing's own records. It's very, very stupid and speaks volumes about the quality culture at certain portions of this business. There's four bolts that prevent the door plug from sliding up off the doorstop. And these four bolts were not installed when Boeing delivered the airplane. Our own records reflect this. So you know how the bolts were missing from
right.
the plane door?
Yes.
And never found? Well, if you believe this whistleblower, they were never there to begin with. And he says, if you look at the records, it'll prove that. And so that's why the door flew out of its plug.
People need to be fired over this. Can you imagine if there were people sitting, remember those seats by that door
yeah.
plug? I know. It is just so crazy.
I'm starting to believe in conspiracy theories more, and I also start thinking of my own. But if the bolts were never put in for the maintenance, mm-hmm. and the two seats next to the door were empty.
Right. So you think somebody knew at the last minute, and they made sure that nobody sat there?
I don't know. These are little seeds.
I know. I mean, that makes sense.
These are conspiracy
sense. Yes.
Seeds in my head.
Because divine intervention just, I don't know if I buy that.
What are the math? What's the math on that? There were six empty seats out of 171.
Right.
Two of the six were right next
there.
To that door plug.
Right.
And it turns out there were no bolts to begin with. So that had to happen. There was no way that wasn't going to happen.
There's right. stuff here we don't know
yeah.
that will come to light.
I don't know. I just have a little antenna, internal antenna about these things. All right, we're going to talk to ABC News correspondent Ike Ajachi because the Boeing CEO, Dave Calhoun, was supposed to have a meeting with lawmakers today about all this. And it's just getting worse. It's getting worse hour by hour for Boeing.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We've been talking a lot about Boeing and the problems they've had with their airplanes. There was another incident on Saturday with a Boeing plane in Atlanta when a nose wheel went flying off as a plane was going to take off. Dave Calhoun, the Boeing CEO, has been under a ton of criticism the last few weeks after that door plug flew off the Alaska Airlines jet. And then you had that other Boeing plane where fire was shooting out of a cargo jet in Miami. It just never seems to end. Anyway, he was on Capitol Hill meeting with lawmakers, and Ike Ajachi, ABC News, is here to tell us about it. Ike, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you doing today?
I'm all right. Well, what's going on with David Calhoun?
essentially the CEO of Boeing, David Calhoun, he's doing what seems to be damage control, getting ahead of what's likely to be several congressional hearings. Now, he went and he spoke to a few senators today, and he came out and made some comments to reporters and cameras, and he said that his company does not put planes in the air that they don't have 100% confidence in. Well, he spoke with Senator Maria Cantwell from Washington, Democrat, and she essentially was peppering him with questions, trying to get to the bottom of this, and she told him that the quality, engineering, and safety must be the company's top priorities. She said that she's planning on holding a Senate hearing with her. She's obviously the lead of the Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee. And he's likely to come in and going to have to testify officially in front of lawmakers, trying to answer these questions that remain unanswered. Now, part of this today that happened, he was asked a question about that Seattle Times report that came out that essentially says that fuselage panel that blew off was removed for repair and reinstalled improperly by Boeing's mechanics at its assembly line in Renton, Washington. He did not comment on that report. He said that he can't comment on any specifics because of the ongoing NTSB investigation.
Well, what's he going to do when he gets to the hearing if he doesn't want to comment on specifics or anything that's being investigated? This stuff's going to be investigated for months. So what's he going to do? Just exactly. Give a bunch of cliches about how safety is our number one priority?
Well, that's essentially what we're looking at, to be honest. But, you know, this is something that, like you said, it's been going on for longer than months, for years. If you remember those two MAX 8 jets in 2018 and 2019 that fell out of the sky, killed almost 350 people. These are serious things that are happening and serious allegations against how this company is essentially running on the manufacturing level. Already analysts have called into question whether executives at the company will have to resign. So we're seeing very strong pushback, not only from passengers, but from engineers and also other airlines. United came out and said that they don't know and they're rethinking about including the upcoming 737 MAX 10 jets that Boeing will be producing soon. They're rethinking about using those.
Well, I mean, this is a disaster because there's only two companies that make these jets that U.S. airlines buy, and it's Boeing and it's Airbus. Airbus is based in Europe, so in America, Boeing is it for jet plane manufacturing.
You know, we have some lawmakers that accuse Calhoun of essentially cutting lines for profits and profiteering. This is essentially what happens when you have one company controlling everything, you know, in all sectors of the economy. You can see this happening where you chase the bottom line, certain things essentially fall apart at the seams. You know, certain things may take hits. We're seeing it right now. You said it yourself. You know, Boeing is synonymous with the planes that are in the sky. Things aren't working well there. Where are you going to turn to?
Well, the New York Times had a pretty damning story we were just going through a little bit ago. They published it this morning about the culture change at Boeing over the last 10 years or so, and which led to those MAX 8 planes falling out of the sky overseas, both of them killing hundreds a few years back. I mean, there's been a pattern here that's been going on for about 5-6 years now.
And we're starting to see that in that Seattle Times as well. They talk about how there's two communication systems, an official one and one, a shorthand informal one that mechanics use. And that's how the possible bolts weren't in there because there is a lack of communication between those two. Essentially, what we're seeing is no SOPs that are put in place, no standard operating procedures that are there and are firmly in place, which is something that comes from the top down, which is why you're seeing already calls for Calhoun to resign.
All right, Ike, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
Okay, Ike Ajayi from ABC News. And that what he was talking about in the Seattle Times, that was this is the origination of the story that I mentioned a few minutes ago, which the Daily Mail had picked up on and summarized. But here is the original. And this is by Dominic Gates from the Seattle Times. He's their aerospace reporter. And he says the panel that blew off was removed for repair and then reinstalled improperly on the final assembly line at their factory in Renton, Washington. And if verified by the government, it would leave Boeing primarily responsible for the accident. And last week, another whistleblower who has access to Boeing's manufacturing records on an aviation website provided many additional details about how the door plug came to be removed and then misinstalled. And the work of the mechanics on the door plug should have been formally inspected and signed off by a Boeing quality inspector. It was not. It was a process failure. And what Ike just said, there's two separate systems to record what work was accomplished. And he described Boeing's 737 production system as a rambling, shambling disaster waiting to happen. Of course, yet to be verified, all these stories by the NTSB. Yikes. You don't want to hear that. A rambling, shambling disaster waiting to happen. Alaska Airlines CEO, I'm more than frustrated and disappointed. I am angry. And again, it's really the only U.S. jet manufacturer we have left.
So what's going on with all the other planes? Not the ones that are grounded. Are those being inspected carefully?
Yeah.
Every time before a plane takes off, every time?
Well, the one that was shooting out flames was 737-800. It wasn't even a MAX.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. There needs to be an overhaul to the airline industry.
Now, the nose wheel issue, I don't know what model of a Boeing plane that was. I don't think I saw that in the, I'll look it up. But I don't think I saw that in the news stories. I mean, well, you know what? If they have shoddy production and shoddy inspection, the whole manufacturing process, a rambling, shambling disaster, it's going to affect all the planes.
That's right. So maybe people, including myself, we need to stop flying for a while until the problem gets fixed before people die, more people die.
Yeah, it really looks like a systemic problem.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
More coming up. John Cobalt Show.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on from 1 until 4, and then after 4, John Cobalt on demand, which is the same show. It's a podcast, and you can listen to what you missed. Now, after 3 o'clock, Corbin Carson from KFI News. It's a trial that's been going on for the past week. The guy, Marcus Ariz, who shot 6-year-old Aiden Leos to death while Aiden's mom was taking him to kindergarten in the carpool lane of the northbound 55 freeway. You remember this story, May of 2021, and she got cut off by Ariz's girlfriend. Joanna, the mother, flipped the girlfriend the bird, and Ariz took offense, and Ariz pulled out a gun, fired at Joanna's car. The bullet hit her son. He was strapped in the back seat. It was a really, really sad, tragic story, and one of the worst defense cases I've ever seen. But Corbin Carson has been following it, and he'll have the latest in that case. Can you take one more airline story? Deborah, can you take one more?
No.
Well, I'm going to read it to you anyway.
Oh, God.
An American Airlines plane was forced to return to the gate because of excessive farting by one of the passengers.
Oh, my God.
It was going from Phoenix to Austin. It was still on the ground. And before most people had boarded, one of the passengers wrote online, I observed this man was audibly disgruntled about something. Maybe hungover, had a rough day. As soon as he sat down, he was grumbling under his breath. And after most people had boarded, the guy suddenly said, "You thought that was rude? Well, how about this smell?" And he started passing gas, and it was it wouldn't stop.
So he willed himself to fart?
Yes. He got mad. I guess he was kind of being unpleasant in his seat.
Yeah, but how did, okay, but I mean, you could be mad, right, about something, but that doesn't mean that you can fart on command.
Some people can.
I get, wow, that's a talent.
I bet you Ray can.
Yeah, that's true.
So this person who posted said, the man who purposely farted moments ago, then decided to loudly and condescendingly say, yeah, everybody, let's just eat the smelliest food possible all at the same time. And somebody said, if you don't like it, you can fly private. And the fart guy says, that's so effing rude. Another one says, I think we all agree that you're the rude one here.
I was going to say.
So now there's a big argument going on. The plane was taxiing down the runway, and the pilot stopped the plane. And a flight attendant came back and escorted Fart Man off the jet.
What is wrong with people?
He said, I don't understand. And the flight attendant says, we'll talk about it off the plane.
What do you mean you don't understand? You're sitting there saying you're going to fart throughout the whole flight and you're yelling at people and you don't understand why you're being escorted off the plane?
The other passenger said people were on edge about what he might say or do next. So there was a delay of about 30 minutes. But American Airlines handed it quickly.
And don't say this guy's a vegan either. I don't think he is.
Probably.
No.
How do you fuel that kind of behavior?
I don't know, but
broccoli and asparagus. That's what keeps that going. Now, of course, California's bullet train is supposed to eventually replace airline travel, right? Then we don't have to deal with Boeing. We don't have to deal with Fart Man. And in the San Francisco Chronicle today, there is a piece about how California's bullet trains will feature dining cars with bars, play areas for families with children, and tiered seating like airlines. This is all to travel from Bakersfield to Merced. This is what they're excited about. Bakersfield to Merced is going to have a dining car in case you get hungry. There's going to be rows of flex seats. And sliding tables. It's going to look very much like Amtrak. Retractable laptop trays. I don't see anything really innovative here, though. How much are you going to drink between Merced and Bakersfield? Well,
I could drink a lot.
If those are the destinations, you might as well. They're going to have comfort seating, cocoon seating. Slightly elevated, semi-enclosed window seats, so you'd have more privacy. And they're also going to premium seating with space and legroom. The goal of our interior design is to create an iconic experience.
Isn't it supposed to be a short trip, though, if it's a bullet train?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Like, how comfortable do you need to be for a short trip?
I mean, they say dining car as if you're going to have a three-course meal.
Yeah,
you're going to have a steak and an appetizer and a couple of rounds of drinks. The bullet trains will be 10 feet, 8 inches wide, which doesn't seem like that big a deal. And this should open up sometime around 2033, if there are no further delays. It's supposed to run at 220 miles an hour. Who needs to get to Bakersfield that fast? Well, maybe if you're escaping Merced. Here's another story about a boob in Sacramento. Josh Harder. His district includes the city of Stockton. He's been very vocal about cracking down on wealthy people who avoid taxes. All right? That's his shtick. He put out a tweet just a few days ago. Quick reminder, we should be making it harder for billionaires to cheat on their taxes, not easier. He also tweeted, the richest Americans dodge $160 billion in taxes each year. It's time they pay their fair share. And let's cut middle-class taxes while we're at it. It was discovered today that the Representative Josh Harder has money stashed in the Cayman Islands, which is a tax haven. He's got money in two funds. If you look, somebody looked at his financial disclosure forms, and he's got tens of thousands of dollars in something called BVA Fund 9 and BVA Fund 8. But the key to this here is you don't pay taxes in the Cayman Islands on your profits. And meantime, he spends At least he spends his tweeting time saying that the wealthy aren't paying their fair share. His spokesperson says, well, he has no control over funds from his old career. Because he used to work in venture capital. Cayman Islands does not tax corporate profits or capital gains. Make a note of that.
What are you saying?
I'm just saying. I
always wonder about the guys who do this. Mm-hmm. Especially as the California. I talked to somebody yesterday who said, if they ever do a wealth tax.
Yeah.
Guy's got some money. If they ever do a wealth tax, I'm out of here. I'm leaving the state. And, you know, the wealth tax is supposed to be everything you own in the world. Like, you could have a beautiful palace in Italy overlooking Lake Como with expensive artwork, expensive autos in the garage. Yeah. Ooh. Well, California will track you down and tax you.
They're trying to tax Ohtani. Remember I was telling you about that?
Yes.
Because his payments are being deferred and he's not going to live in California anymore, but they're still going to want the money after he's not living in California because it was technically California money.
He'll be paid years down the road after presumably he's gone back to Japan or wherever.
Yeah.
And but it's for work he did here in America. Yeah, I don't know how that works. I've always been kind of confused because I have quite a few friends who have moved part-time or full-time to other states, but if you remote work, right? Let's say you're living in Florida, but working remotely for a California company, who gets the taxes?
Well, professional athletes, they pay taxes in all of the states that they play games in.
All right. So when the Dodgers, let's say they go to New York.
Yeah, they got to pay New York taxes for those games.
And do they still pay California taxes too?
Yeah.
So they're double taxed?
Well, for the games in California.
But when they fly to New York?
They got to pay New York taxes.
Right. Do they pay California taxes for the games
in New York? I don't believe so, no. Because they got to file in all the different states that they play in.
Because California, you know, at those earning levels, it's 14% tax. On top of the federal government, 37. So that's 51 right there. The New York, I know New York's in double digits for the wealthy. Now, this is all outrageous. People are working for a living. If they're working legally, these stupid bastards in Sacramento have no right to the money. And look what this guy's doing. He has his investments in the Cayman Islands. All right, we come back. We're going to talk to Corbin Carson from KFI News. We're nearing the end of the trial of... Marcus Ariz, he was this ponytailed creep who shot and killed Aiden Leos while he was sitting in the back of his mother's car. Joanna Kloon and the mom had flipped off Marcus Ariz' girlfriend. And Marcus smiled in a sick manner and then fired a bullet at the car and killed Aiden. Probably heard about that case. It's from 2 years ago. The trial's been in the past week. We've been covering it. Corbin's going to give us the latest. Deborah Mark now with the news live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom. Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moment moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Tired of pickup truck bed chaos? Meet Decked. Game-changing USA-made full bed-length drawers for tools and gear. Waterproof, dustproof, lockable, secure. Whether you're working, hunting, fishing, camping, or just getting out of town. And introducing Decked Deco Cases. Tough, modular, problem-solving cases built for the truck, job site, campsite, or garage. Say goodbye to random bins and tie-downs. Order now at Decked.com/iHeart for free shipping. Decked. Your truck. Your rules. Decked.com/iHeart.